Katie MacDonald deals with our international news and a look at what's happening on the international world. She speaks to us from Sydney out in Australia. I have a daughter in Australia, in Sydney itself, and I have one in New Zealand. So let's start off with one foot in New Zealand. Katie, a very good morning to you and welcome to Cape Talk again.
Oh, good morning, Zane. How wonderful to hear your voice.
Thanks so much. New Zealand is in various stages of lockdown in an attempt to sort of halt the coronavirus outbreak. I've been watching Jacinda Ardern and her team for the last 2 to 3 days, every single morning at about 6 o'clock our time. They give an update, and she's been, I don't know, she's the darling favorite of the world these days. So what's happening out in New Zealand, Katie?
Yeah, she is very much a world darling, and the country itself, people say that it's been the global poster child, for dealing with COVID. And they had 102 straight days, Zane, of no new cases. And then suddenly, kaboom, a couple of cases. So the big thing is, obviously, they're trying to ascertain how this has happened. They do have an idea, and they've gone back into lockdown. Well, Auckland is at level 3 and the rest of New Zealand at level 2. And they're going to be keeping that till Wednesday, August 26th. So, yeah, they at the moment saying they think it's all connected to one Auckland-based cluster. It's a family and connected family members. They've quarantined them. But it's, I think it was quite a shock to the system in the sense that They had it under control, as you would well know. I know you have family in New Zealand, and they'd been doing really well. So it's now, oh my gosh, how they're going to deal with it. But Zane, it's also interesting because it's brought up again this debate with regards to elimination versus suppression.
Yeah.
And which is the best way to go.
What actually caught my attention about the few interviews that I've watched, the few sort of press gatherings that I've watched Jacinda Ardern do. It was a family of 4, 1 child, 3 adults. They were in contact with people down in Rotorua, which is sort of a town similar to Knysna, if you want to call it that. But what scared me, Katie, was the fact that 4 people were in contact with so many people who were in contact with so many people. And then eventually, the sort of trace and the QR codes and everything led them to quite a number of people, more than hundreds, 200-300 of people that these people were in contact with. And I think that's the scary thought.
No, absolutely. And the fact, too, that they have been so closed down or locked down. So it's, how did it get in? But this is a thing saying, this virus spreads. We know it spreads. But we don't, we still don't have a measure as to how, in the sense that, they're saying, look, there could be people sitting there asymptomatic, they have it. They don't know that they're spreading it. Mm. And as you said, with this, little group, and suddenly you've got hundreds more that are exposed. So it will be interesting to see how they deal with it because New Zealand's been they've been cut off and they were going very, very well.
Yeah, I've also been watching one of their ministers explaining exactly what kind of financial help there will be for people affected and, what kind of help the financial help will be forthcoming. I think that's a great step in the right direction. Turning to Australia this morning, Katie, hopes are rising that Victorian cases have sort of passed their peak as the Aussies add $50 notes to their coronavirus stockpile.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe that? Well, we'll start with Victoria. They had 4 deaths and just over 300 cases overnight there. So they are hoping that it has passed its peak. But Zane, as we keep saying, you just don't know. And that's the case. I mean, that's the state with the most cases. New South Wales recorded 9 new cases overnight. And there have been no deaths anywhere else. One of the big issues in Victoria is aged care because it's spreading in aged care homes, and they're trying to deal with that. They are Yeah, they're working on it. The Premier is under fire left, right and centre with regards to how they have been dealing with it. But on a sort of lighter, more bizarre note, Zane, as you know, people in times of crisis, they stockpile. And there were memes and all sorts of laughter as to the stockpiling of toilet paper, amongst other things, you know, when the virus first hit. Well, Aussies are apparently stuffing $50 notes under their mattresses. It's adding to their stash. I mean, apparently it's $50 notes that are the ones you want to stash if you're going to stash. And, yeah, even the Reserve Bank governor has commented saying that they've had to meet extra demand. Why they want to stash $50 notes, I don't know, Zane. I can't give that answer. But, yeah, maybe just adding to the pile of toilet paper and what else people are hoarding.
Yeah, it's kind of uncomfortable to sleep on baked beans stuffed under your mattress, eh? It should be. If you're stockpiling, you need to stockpile. Yeah. Any specific reason why? Because, you know, a stockpiling culture, there's a whole sort of philosophy, sort of psychology behind this idea of stockpiling, of the fact that when you stockpile something, you feel a little safer, you know. So if you've got a couple of 50 quids hidden away somewhere, you feel slightly safer in case things go south and you actually need to, you know, cope with it, and you need to find yourself out. You can always use a couple of 50 quid, $50 notes to buy yourself out of something, or to just, if you have a shutdown of the banks and stuff like that. Any reasoning why the $50 notes would be stockpiled?
Heaven knows. No, that's just it. They don't know. Why 50? I don't know. And it is apparently the note of choice. So maybe because it's easier, I don't know, to break than a $100 note, but a little bit more than a $20 note, Zane.
Yeah.
One of those weird things. And, you know, people do exhibit strange behaviors in time of crisis. And, this is just another one they've picked up on. So personally, I'm not stuffing $50 notes under my mattress, but... I'll need to do a bit of study, Zane, and get back to you on that.
Yeah, the thing is actually, is it depends on what you can buy and how much you can buy for a $50 note. So if a $50 note would be able to buy you food and things for at least 3 to 4 days or for about a week, then I think, you know, that's the reason why people are sort of sticking it into the mattress and stuff like that. It always goes into the mattress.
Perhaps.
I don't know
I do.
Why.
I have to tell you here, that will get you a packet of cigarettes. I can't mention that because you're not getting cigarettes.
So. No. Are we still waiting on that announcement to be made? Thai students seem to be calling for political reforms in challenge to the monarchy in that country, Katie.
Yes, this is big because, just a little bit of background. You know, Thailand is a monarchy and they've got this lèse majeste law, and basically it forbids the insult of the monarchy. And they've got strict fines. And jail sentences, up to 15 years in jail, if you criticize the monarchy. And essentially what's happened is students have been protesting. They're protesting against, you know, the military that have taken power and, you know, the punishment, the military issues and such things. But for the first time, they're overtly including the monarchy in these protests. And essentially it says that anyone who defames, insults or threatens the king, the queen, the heir apparent or the regent will be punished with a jail term of between 3 to 15 years. So they're out there. There's a big protest scheduled for tomorrow, and it's going to be interesting to see how that is dealt with. But this, you know, they're essentially saying that we've got to modernize. We need a constitutional monarchy that mirrors one more like that of the UK. And, you know, these harsh draconian laws are not appropriate in, you know, today's time. So, yeah, big anti-government protests and, to repeat, including criticism of the monarchy, which is just a complete no-go. I mean, people have disappeared, Zane, from Thailand, and even activists that have left the country have disappeared, you know, over criticism of the government and the monarchy. So tomorrow's march is going to be, or protests are going to be, quite seriously watched. And it's a big thing there. It is a big, big thing. Plus, there's a criticism, or one of the things that's been coming out is that the Thai king and his family spend more time overseas, notably in Germany, than they do in Thailand. So they've got demands they've put out there. They want certain powers to be reined in. They want more transparency, accountability, and they want these lese majeste laws revoked.
I've been chatting to some people out in the Vietnam area, for instance, and it's just give you an idea. If anybody is tested positive in one particular street, they will shut down the entire street. Everybody stays in their homes. Nobody comes out of there. And the rest of them are just under quarantine. If you come into the country, you go straight into quarantine and so on. It's a very difficult situation in the Asian countries. And I think we don't sort of realize, because we have a lot of freedom. We have democracy. We can say what we want to, and we can move relatively freely. But in the Asian countries, it is a bit more restricted. Coming back to the $50 note this morning, Katie, and we're chatting to Katie MacDonald from Sydney, giving us our international news. I've just got a WhatsApp message from Chris in Australia, and he says, lovely program. Morning, Zane. Don't know why they are stockpiling $50 notes. Nobody is accepting cash. So are they accepting cash in Australia?
Yes. That's an interesting, he's actually, brought up a very interesting point. That is the bizarre thing, that they're not, cash is, it's recommended not to use cash. When the whole thing started, the first thing I was told was don't use cash. And many places are not taking cash. So that's also, quite odd. It is highly bizarre.
There's a bit of research for you, Katie MacDonald, to go and find out exactly why people are stockpiling. So next week you'll probably give us an answer. Malaysia's last variant of the Sumatran rhino died last year. So now through stem cell technology, there's hope that they might be brought back again. And this sounds very interesting.
Look, it is interesting. And as we well know, in South Africa and Africa, you know, there are challenges with rhinos and other animals that becoming extinct. So Iman was the last Sumatran rhino, or the Malaysian variant of the Sumatran rhino, and she died last year. And they basically have skin, eggs, and tissue samples, and now they're trying to use those. They're instituting through the use of experimental stem technology to bring this back. Look, it's a long process. It's obviously going to take a long time. But there are molecular biologists working on it, and they're hopeful. They don't feel that it's impossible. And it's an interesting thing, because we have got other breeds of animals throughout the world, as we know, that have become extinct. And there was also that breeding program with the quokka, done slightly differently. But yes, they're hoping that they can recreate a Sumatran rhino, and it will take time. But they did try to breed the last two. So Iman was the last one, and then a male rhino died about 6 months before she did. And unfortunately, all their attempts to breed didn't work. So this is what they're working on now. And look, Zane, as long as there's hope, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Anything else happening on your side? Because I know that, Australia, I've got a daughter there. They've decided, no, they can't handle Australia anymore. They'll be moving back home again by the end of this year. They're moving back to New Zealand again. Has the lockdown and has this COVID-19 affected Australia as bad? Because, in South Africa, we went into lockdown. That was it. March, everything closed down. This is it. We're going to close it down for 3 weeks. And I think we've done, although people are not very satisfied with the president at the moment, I think we've done a relatively, looking at it internationally, we've done a relatively good job. So how does Australia compare to the rest of the world in terms of COVID-19?
Well, look, it's quite interesting. Australia has, I think they've done pretty well. This Victorian outbreak has caused some fear. But they went into lockdown also relatively early, and the increased testing, they prepared hospitals and COVID wards, which, for example, in New South Wales, the dedicated COVID wards are empty, and we hope that they don't fill out. They're monitoring very closely any little clusters that are opening up here. It's, as I mentioned to Sarah Jane last week and the week before, the Western Australian states seem to be doing very well when it comes to dealing with the well, they basically haven't had any new cases. And it's the eastern states, it's Victoria and New South Wales, that would be the most concerning. And to be quite honest, here in New South Wales at the moment, it's still life as normal, Zane. I mean, people are masking up. I did notice, compared to 40% of people a week ago on my daily bus commute wearing a mask, the other day, when I say the other day, yesterday, there was only one person without a mask on. But it's life goes on. It's not that drastic. It's not a big change, then. It really isn't. I hope that we're able to stay that way. But we don't. This is a, you know, ongoing thing. We just don't know.
It is difficult, because I mean it's a new normal that we all need to get used to, and for how long we need to get used to it, we don't know. So it is quite difficult. I mean, yeah, masks, yeah, are mandatory. They are legal. They are, it's gazetted. It's, that's it. Once you're in a public space, you need to actually, you know, wear a mask. And I live in a complex, and for the past 2 days, I've had to sadly ask the children in the park, for instance, they're all out, and, you know, everybody's got this expectation of going down to level two at the moment. So I've had to ask these kids to, first of all, not use the park, hopefully. So, you know, it's difficult. And I feel for these children. They've been on lockdown since the beginning of, since the end of March, and, you know, it's difficult for them. And my key thing was that they were not out, they were outside without a mask, and I think that is where it becomes a bit of a problem for me, because they were in the park running around with no mask, and you know, we've been able to keep the complex sort of COVID free until now. So it's just one of those things that one needs to get used to. Chatting to Katie MacDonald this morning, and Katie's given us news about what's happening in New Zealand, what's happening in Australia, and of course the political challenges out in Thailand. Have yourself a wonderful Saturday, and enjoy the rest of your Saturday. I think it's evening by now.
Well, it's afternoon. It's early afternoon, Zane. The sun is still shining. So, yeah, plenty of a day left, and a wonderful weekend to you.
Thanks very much, Katie. Enjoy the rest of your day. That's okay. Katie MacDonald chatting to us all the way from Australia, and chatting to us about what's happening in Australia, and sort of the Asian side of it also.